try to consider this last week. Sometimes, you know, we're so focused on what's next on the list that we forget to reflect on where we've been. So just think for a minute about this past week. Just think to yourself, where'd you go? What did you do? Who did you see? What did you accomplish? Now, if you can remember that far, as you have this last week kind of framed up in your mind, let me ask you this question. Were you available to God this week? Did you intentionally put yourself in a position of availability to be used by God for His purposes? That's the question that we've been asking throughout this entire sermon series that we're calling Available. We've talked about how Noah's availability came from walking with God in his everyday life, and how Esther's availability came from recognizing that God had put her in her particular position for such a time as she was in, and how Nehemiah's availability came from a heart that was broken for the things that break the heart of God. But today's text comes at this idea of availability from a different direction. It connects with these other themes that we've discussed, but it brings a different nuance that I think is incredibly important for us to consider. Today, we consider Jonah. And so I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Jonah. If you can find it, it's mixed in with the minor prophets right after Obadiah, right before Micah. Always helpful to look in the table of contents. No shame in that. And find Micah. I encourage all of you to grab a Bible, look on your Bible app, and get to Jonah. And know that we're going to be kind of reading the first chapter, but we'll be referencing the whole book. So please keep it open this morning as we come to God's holy and awesome Word. Let us turn our attention now to what He would speak to us today in this moment by His Spirit. Hear now God's holy Word. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below deck, where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe He will take notice of us and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let's cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" He answered, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." Well, this terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. And the sea was getting rougher and rougher, so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm. I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried to the Lord, to Yahweh, "Oh Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man for you, O Lord. O Lord, have done as you pleased. Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard. And the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and they made vows to him. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, we thank you so much for your holy and awesome word. And we pray today that by your Spirit, you will make your word known to us, not just that we would know more information, but that we, because of your Spirit, would experience your transformation. For your kingdom to come and for your will to be done, we ask in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Well, we don't have time to read through the whole story of Jonah today, but I just want to give you a little taste, maybe kind of between the lines a little bit. I'd like you to pay attention now to this little special drama called Jonah Phones Home.
Well, here goes.
Hello?
Hello, Dad? It's a long story.
You know your mom and I have called every hotel in Tarshish to try to find out where you are?
I didn't exactly make it to Tarshish, Dad.
Well, where are you?
I'm in Nineveh.
Nineveh? Boy, the cut rate travel agents will do it every time.
Maybe I should start from the beginning.
Yeah, maybe you should.
I never told you why I wanted to go to Tarshish, did I? No, I was trying to run away from God.
That's crazy, son. You can't run away from God.
I know that now. See, God wanted me to go to Nineveh and to minister to the people there, but I didn't want to go.
Oh, I don't blame you. Nineveh's a tough city. They got chariot jackings and drive by stonings.
I'm getting to that, Dad. I'm getting to that. So, instead of going to Nineveh, I boarded a ship for Tarshish.
I'm following you.
But on the way there, a big storm came up, and the crew members decided to throw me overboard.
Boy, those cruises aren't as friendly as the appetites, are they?
Actually, I asked them to do it. Yeah, see, I knew the storm was because of my disobedience. No, see, God really wanted me to go to Nineveh because he caused a great fish to swallow me up whole, and I stayed there for 3 days just thinking about my disobedience.
Kind of like when your mom and I extended to your room, huh?
Yeah, except the belly of the fish didn't smell quite that bad. Well, once I decided to follow God, the fish just spat me out on dry land, so here I am.
You know, I'm proud of you, son.
Thanks, Dad. But I haven't even started ministering to the people of Nineveh yet.
Oh, but you're finally doing what God called you to do. I'm just sorry it took so long for you to get on the right track.
Well, you know how it is, Dad. Some of us have to be half drowned before we decide to get in the right boat. Of course. I wouldn't miss Mom's cooking for anything. What are we having, by the way?
Fresh fish, of course.
You've got to admit that would be very difficult to explain to your parents on the phone. And I just want to actually take a moment. I was going to do this earlier and I forgot, but that little drama. Thank you guys for that. Reminded me that, speaking of parents, I have the privilege this morning of my parents being here. Diane's mom, Sue, is right here in the front row, and my parents, Brian and Judy, are right here behind her. They're not here to hear me preach. You know, they don't need to do that. But it's because Kate was doing the offertory. But I hope that you will welcome them and greet them if you get a chance, because they don't get a chance to be here very often because they're busy in their own churches, turns out. But welcome. Glad you guys are here this morning. Let me ask you this. Have you ever tried to run from God? That's what Jonah tried to do, isn't it? It's not the kind of behavior that you'd expect from a prophet. That's what Jonah was. He was a prophet of Yahweh. Nevertheless, verse 3 makes it very clear that Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for a town that's very difficult to pronounce well, Tarshish. He sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord, the scripture says. He got on a boat and headed in exactly the other direction from the place that God told him to go. And let me just try to make this as clear as I can. This is the opposite of availability. Jonah's example here does not epitomize what availability to God looks like, does it? Instead, it's the antithesis of what availability to God looks like. And Jonah wasn't just pretending he didn't hear God. He turned in the opposite direction and hightailed it for a place he thought God would dare not go. But let me just let you in on another piece of wisdom. From all my seminary training and all the study I've done, I can tell you this. It's never a good idea to try to run from God. It just doesn't work. And so God chose not to let Jonah get away with it so easily. He sent a great wind on the sea, the scripture says, so great that such a violent storm arose that not just the ship was threatened to turn over or sink, but to break up. It can be a pretty helpless feeling when you're on a boat in the middle of a significant storm. And so all the sailors were freaking out and calling on their own gods for help. And all while that's all going on, what's Jonah doing? Jonah was sound asleep. Turns out it's pretty tiring to try to run away from God, I guess, to refuse his call. And so the captain of the ship comes down and wakes him up and brings him up on deck. And then they cast lots to see if that would show them who was responsible. And surprise, surprise, the lot fell on Jonah. And once again, in this biblical story, availability, as it has been in many other of the stories that we've looked at, availability to God connects with one's identity, with who they are. And so the sailors ask him, "What's your deal? Who are you? Where are you from?" Look at verse 9 for Jonah's answers. He says, "I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord. I worship Yahweh, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." You know, sometimes there's a disconnect between what we say or even what we believe and what we actually do, isn't there? And that is absolutely the case for Jonah here, don't you think? He is a Hebrew and he worships Yahweh, the creator of the whole earth. But at the moment, he is busy trying to get as far away from Yahweh as possible. And yet it seems like that verbal confession, saying those words out loud, seem to resign Jonah to the fact that his run from God is over. And so the guys ask him what they should do. Jonah tells them simply, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea and it will become calm." I know, he admits, I know that it is my fault that this great storm has come upon you. Now, before we move on, I want us to just think about that statement for a few moments. "Pick me up and throw me over the sea and it will become calm." On one hand, that statement can seem like a very faith-filled statement, right? Jonah is so full of faith that he is willing to sacrifice himself for the sake of these men. But actually, the more I thought about it this week and just reflected on it, I don't really think that's what's happening here. Getting thrown overboard wasn't the only option, was it? What else could Jonah have done? Well, he could have just dropped to his knees right there and repented. He could have repented of his disobedience, not just say, "This is my fault, throw me overboard." He was trying to run away from God, but it was clear to him now that it wasn't going to work. God wasn't trying to kill him, though, because he would already have been dead. God was trying to wake him up to the truth of his own sin. And so when it all clicked for Jonah that God had caused the storm because of his own disobedience, Jonah could have repented. He could have cried out to God for forgiveness. But he didn't. He simply instructed the guys to throw him overboard. Jonah, it seems, would rather die than repent. But why? Why would one who was called to proclaim the words of God run from an opportunity to serve God? Why would a prophet of God rather die than seek the Lord's mercy? Well, it was basically because he wanted nothing to do with those Ninevites. God had a plan for them, but Jonah didn't want to be any part of it, even, it seems, if it cost him his own life. What about you? Is there any Jonah in you? Are you simply unwilling to participate in the work that God wants to do in the people around you? If you're like me, there are likely times when that disobedience is a little more passive than Jonah does here. You know, you sense that God wants you to do something, but you act like a student who doesn't want the teacher to call on her. So you look away, avoid eye contact, slink down in your chair, and try to go unnoticed, look busy. And when, church, when we do that, it's like we're trying to pretend that everything is okay. But everything is not okay when we do that. When we do that, we are disobeying God. But Jonah doesn't show that kind of passive aggression here. No way. Jonah, it's like, looks God straight in the eye and says defiantly, "No, I'm out." What about you? Beloved, God has a plan for you. And that plan isn't only a plan to give you salvation. It also is a plan to use you in the work that He is doing to bring others to faith. And this passage should cause every single one of us, no matter what our current relationship with God is like, it should cause every single one of us to examine our own obedience. Well, the guys on the boat, they tried everything to avoid throwing Jonah in, but nothing worked. So finally, after praying to Yahweh for mercy, it says they took Jonah and threw him overboard. And the raging sea grew calm. And then two amazing things happened. First, these pagan sailors, these weren't Jewish guys, these pagan sailors who worshipped an assortment of gods, they turned their attention to Yahweh, the God of heaven, the creator of the sea and of the land. Verse 16 says, "At this the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, to Yahweh, and they made vows to Him, to Yahweh. And so God, in His providence, in His sovereignty, God used Jonah's disobedience to teach these sailors to fear the Lord. That was the first amazing thing. But the second amazing thing is found in the last verse of the chapter. It starts out by saying, "But the Lord provided." This is good news, church. Jonah refused to obey God, but the Lord provided. Jonah would have rather died than repent, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. God had mercy on Jonah. God's grace was sufficient for him in his great disobedience, in his great disregard for what God wanted to do. God's grace was sufficient for him, just like it is for you and for me. And that's good news because, church, every single one of us is in need of that kind of grace from God, right? Even if we're being obedient in this moment or in the next, there might be 28,402 mistakes that we've made this year. There are plenty of moments when we are not obedient. And because of that, every single one of us has lost all opportunity to be in right relationship with God. But the Lord provided. He didn't wait for us to first repent. The scriptures say that while we were still sinners, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, died for us. He submitted His life to death on the cross, taking all of our sin upon His shoulders. But then, as the scriptures predicted, He rose victoriously from the grave, proving the power of His sacrifice over all the effects of sin and all the effects of death. And He took His place next to the Father in heaven, where He waits finally to finally return and make everything right. And because of that, because of this incredible work of God, because the Lord provided, now any person, no matter what they've done or how they've lived, any person just like you and like me who repents and puts their faith in Christ Jesus will be saved. If God's grace is sufficient for Jonah, it is sufficient for you as well. And so if you're a person here who's never truly repented from your sin and put your faith in Jesus and surrendered your life to Him, I pray that today you will come to your senses and pray, "Lord Jesus, You are the Son of God who died for my sins and rose victoriously. Please forgive me and be my Savior." You see, it took a pretty dramatic situation for Jonah to come to his senses. Once he realized that God had saved him, at least for the time being, and while still in the belly of that great fish, Jonah finally prayed. His prayer is in chapter 2. It's a prayer of praise and recommitment. And then the Lord, in His grace, has the great fish vomit him up on the shore. And chapter 3 then starts with the Lord making the same request to Jonah. Go to Nineveh and proclaim God's message to them. And guess what Jonah does this time? He obeys. He obeys. Good choice, Jonah. Jonah proclaimed God's message. And the Ninevites, the enemy of God's people, the Ninevites, repented. And when God saw their repentance, He showed them His grace and did not bring calamity upon them. Man, it was an amazing turn of events. And that would be a great place to end the sermon and end the story of Jonah. But there's one more chapter. You see, Jonah obeyed, and that was really good and really important. But he wasn't very happy with God's decision for grace. Look at the beginning of chapter 4 with me. after the Ninevites had turned and God had withdrawn His judgment and shown them His grace, it says, "But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, 'Oh Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God. You're slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from some calamity. Dang it. Now, O Lord, take away my life. For it is better for me to die than to live in the reality of a relenting God.'" Once again, Jonah would rather die than see God have His way. He obeyed God. And that is to be commended. But his heart wasn't in it. And yet God used that obedience, even though Jonah's heart wasn't in it. Praise God for that. Praise God that He uses us, even in times when our obedience is not heartfelt. But instead, for Jonah, instead of rejoicing with God for the repentance of the Ninevites, he was ticked off that God had mercy on him. Beloved, this passage right in the middle of the Old Testament makes it clear that God cares about people who are far from Him. It's the reason He sent the Son, Jesus, to be our Savior. It's the reason that Jesus commanded the disciples to be disciple makers, not just amongst the people that were already close with God, but from those, to the very ends of the earth even, those who were far from God. And it's the reason that Jesus gave the Holy Spirit to empower the church for the mission of God in the world. And some of us today are being disobedient to Him by refusing to participate in that mission. And others of us are obeying, which is so important and so right, but we're obeying with resentful hearts. Jonah missed out on experiencing the fullness of God's mercy. He missed out on the party that was happening, just like the older brother in the story of the prodigal son and the loving father. And so do we when we refuse to participate in the work that He wants to do in the world. God saved each of us who have faith in Christ to be part of His mission of mercy to the world. He lavishes His grace on us through Christ so that that same grace would then overflow through us to our neighbors and our co-workers and others, even church, to our enemies. So let's stop running from God. Let's not slink down in our chair and pretend we're not hearing Him anymore. Let's stop making excuses about how other churches are called to evangelism, but we're called to help people mature in their faith. Maturity in faith without evangelism is not true maturity. It's disobedience. God has so much more for us. So may our lives be open and be available to God, not just to pronounce the judgment of God on those who deserve it, but to rejoice in the mercy of God, mercy that He's already shown to us, and mercy that He has for a world that desperately needs it. May His love, His heart, His mercy, His grace, His truth be multiplied in us for the sake of His kingdom to come and His will to be done. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, please forgive us. Forgive us for the way, God, that our hearts and our lives have not been available to You. Thank you for the story of Jonah. Even though it is not the nice Hallmark Channel happy ending that we kind of want it to be, it ends with Jonah still mad at God. And God saying to him, you care about this little weed that came up and gave you shade and then died, but shouldn't I care about all the people of Nineveh who are far from me? God, I pray that we would be a people by your Spirit, saved by your grace, who would turn our hearts to you and availability to you, that we would rejoice in the things that make you rejoice, that we would have broken hearts for the things that break your heart, that we would not just slink away and hope that you're not paying attention to us so that you wouldn't call us, that we wouldn't just turn to you and say, forget it, you, we're not going to participate. But God, that we would be available corporately and individually to be used by you, that you and your grace would multiply your love, the love that drew us to faith, the love that caused us to put our own lives into your hands, the love that was so strong that we came to you in repentance and said, God, please forgive me of my sin and be my Savior, the love that was never meant just for us or just for me individually. Would you multiply it through me so that your church would be multiplied, so that many, many, many more would know the grace and mercy of God that the Ninevites experienced upon their repentance. We ask for it in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, amen. For the privilege that you give us to be your people in this community. And thank you for the many of us who work and are connected and minister in schools, from young people to old people. You've put us in positions of influence in schools all around this community, and we're grateful for that. And Lord, we want to now lift those schools up to you so that as the school year starts, God, we have covered each place in prayer for you to do a mighty work. So give us courage now to participate. Not to slink away and pretend that we're not listening. Not to avoid eye contact. Whoever, even though I'm not saying this is a word from God, but not to turn from the church and say, no way, I'm not doing that. But that we would gladly participate, not with resentful hearts, but with hearts of faith, knowing that you can work in powerful ways through our prayers. We ask for it in Jesus' name. And everyone who agreed said, now would you stand and let me give you this benediction, this blessing from the Lord. Church, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, to smile upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his perfect peace today and every day. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen.